If I was to give you a few advertising slogans, I wonder, would you recognize them? Would you recognize Just Do It? Who's that? You're allowed to speak behind the mask, but Just Do It. Nike. Yeah, it's Nike. We recognize it. Because You're Worth It. I'm Loving It. Only the youth worker knows it's McDonald's. That must say something, I don't know. Have a break, have a... Yep. Everybody knows that one, yeah. Versprung durch Technik. Audi, yeah. What was Ron Seal's advertising slogan a while ago, and we still remember it? It does what it says in the text. It's funny. The women all knew L'Oreal, the men know Ron Seal. I'm not sure. Yeah, possibly we need a bit more preserving and staining and all that stuff. And I don't know. Yeah, it does exactly what it says in the tin. And the idea apparently was the advertiser sat down and they said, look, we want people just to be able to read the tin and think that's what it does. If it says it'll be dry in 4 hours, that's what it does. If it says it'll be waterproof, that's what it does. It does exactly what it says on the tin. You read the instructions and you know what to expect. The Old Testament, apparently, I haven't counted these all, has over 300 prophecies which point towards the Messiah. 300 and plus times in the Old Testament, there is this prediction made about the Messiah. And the amazing thing is that in the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, every one of them is fulfilled. Now, sometimes people look at those and they think, well, sure, other people might have fulfilled, and possibly other people fulfilled a few of them. But only Jesus has fulfilled all of those prophecies. And it's as though, when you read what it says in the tin, that's what to expect. You read what the prophets have been saying. You read what God has promised all down through the years, and that's what to expect. It does exactly what it says in the tin. Prophecies. And Jesus fulfills them according to the Scriptures. Paul, when he writes about the resurrection, simply says this, what I received, I passed on to you as of the first importance. Here's the most important thing, Paul says. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day, again, according to the Scriptures. Sometimes we gloss over those three wee words, according to the Scriptures. Sometimes we just gloss over them. We lose sight of them. But it's so important because this was not some sort of knee-jerk reaction on God's part to respond to what was going on. This was part of salvation's plan. All those prophecies come to fulfillment in this Jesus Christ, crucified, died, buried, and risen again. It's at the very heart of the gospel. Christ died for our sins, yours and mine. Didn't die for his own sins because he had none. The perfect Lamb, sinless. Christ dies for our sin according to the Scriptures. He's buried to show that he really did die. And he's raised from the dead so that we may have hope in him according to the Scriptures. It's interesting that Paul doesn't say the gospel starts with, here's how you are to live. Here's a checklist of things that you're to do and not to do, ways that you're to behave, ways that you're to think. That's not the heart of the gospel. Paul says the very heart of the gospel is what Jesus Christ has done for you. And when we begin to grip that and to understand that and to take that in, then our lives are transformed and we begin to live those lives for the glory of God. But it doesn't start with me. and my abilities or inabilities. It starts with this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. I always find Good Friday, the Good Friday service, a humbling service, because it strikes me time and time again that Jesus had to die for me. Jesus had to die for you. There's no room for pride when we begin to glimpse that, understand that. Jesus had to do that for us. Pride makes us think that either we are good enough or that we can sort it out ourselves. And the cross confronts that pride. The cross says, no, you are not good enough. Only Jesus is. The cross says, you cannot sort this out yourself. Only Jesus can. The cross humbles us. But the fact that Jesus was glad to die for me and for you assures us out of our fears as well. Jesus went willingly to the cross. And because of that, we can be assured that he is with us, that our sins are forgiven. Sometimes we sing that lovely song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Jesus willingly went to the cross. Jesus died. Jesus was raised again from the dead so that we can face tomorrow, so that we can face fear in whatever way it comes to us. Later on in that passage in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul helps us to understand the resurrection a little bit more, he says this: if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. If it's just for the short years that we have, if that's all we have Jesus for, then says Paul, we're to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that slept. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. It's a pledge of our own resurrection. And so the greatest fear that we face, we now have assurance in it, because Jesus has risen and he will bring us to be with him, our risen and living Savior. Peter, who made such a mess of things during that Easter week, that Holy Week, the Peter who's all bravado, I will always follow you, nothing will come between me and you, the Peter who then shrinks back and says, I don't know him at all, I've never heard of him, I've never been with him. Peter is lovingly and carefully and graciously restored by the risen Christ. And he writes this: because, coming out of his experience, we've been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. New birth into a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus. It's not something that we will wait for. Yes, we will wait for our salvation to be completed. But that living hope, that new birth into a living hope, is here and now because Jesus is raised from the dead. Mary. Lovely how women figure so centrally in the whole Easter narrative. Mary's the first to see the empty tomb. She's the first to see the risen Christ. She's the first to go and tell the disciples. And really, if you were trying to concoct a story to explain away the resurrection, you wouldn't have had a woman as your primary witness, not in that society, not in that day. And yet it's Mary at the heart of it. And Mary's cry is, they've taken my Lord away. They've taken my Lord away. And Jesus speaks into her life and brings her that living hope, that new birth into a living hope. Over this past year, a lot of people have said they have taken away. Maybe been a job, livelihood, a home, a wife, a husband, a father, a mother, a child, a friend, hope, dreams, health, they have taken away. The risen Christ is not silent. The risen Christ speaks into all of these and more to bring us not into wishful thinking, but to bring us into that new birth, the living hope, because Jesus is raised from the dead. So Jesus gives you that living hope wherever he has placed you. In your home, in your community, in your workplace, and wherever you hope to be able to go and relax and unwind a bit when things are regulations are lifted. All those places, Jesus gives you this new birth so that you may be a living hope where you've been placed. Jesus gives us this living hope in the face of this pandemic. And even though we see things improving here, you listen to the news and across the world, the picture is not so good. Yes, the vaccine is wonderful and bringing hope. But only Jesus gives us a living hope. Jesus gives us a living hope in the face of political tensions and uncertainties. We look for a better future. Jesus points the way to that better future through faith in him and the outworking of that living hope in all of our lives, again where God has placed us. Been great to wish people a happy Easter. It's been lovely to be able to look into eyes and just say, happy Easter. What makes it a happy Easter? It's a truly happy Easter when you know that Jesus Christ died for you. When you know that Jesus Christ died for you, that your sins might be forgiven, that you might have this new birth into a living hope, then it becomes the happy Easter. When you know that Jesus has been raised from the dead and is your risen and living Savior who is with you, not just on this Easter Sunday, but every moment of every day. In those days when we find joy just welling up inside us, and in those days too when we feel as though everything is going to crush us, the risen Christ is with us. There's living hope. So as we wish each other a happy Easter, let's pray too, that we may find that happiness not in chocolate, not in Easter bunnies, not in all the other things that go on around us that are crazy, but we find our happiness in the truth according to the Scriptures, that Jesus died for our sins, humbles us because he had to die, but sets us free because he was glad to die, and raises us up because he is our risen and living Savior according to the Scriptures.